We pray. Lord God, we thank you for your gift of the living word which you have preserved in our midst. And it is in this word and through this word that you speak and act upon our lives. It's through the power of your word that we are saved, that you proclaim us to be righteous on account of your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's through this word, Lord, that you speak through your Spirit into our hearts and minds, that our wills might be recreated, that our actions and thoughts might be made anew, and that we might aim to please you all the days of our life. So, Lord, may your Spirit lead and guide us this morning as we engage you where you promise to be found in your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We who are in Christ do not live in a different world than anyone else, but our perspective in how we move through this world is very different. All on account of Christ, all on account of His saving us. Our text is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 10 and verse 17 today. And it's here that Paul gives us some wonderful encouragement and insight on how we are to live out our days. Paul says that we can live courageously, and we do that when we realize that our different kind of living in this world is that you and I walk by faith and not by what? Sight. We must understand that if we are to have the courage that this life in this world that Christ demands, then we need to walk by faith and not by sight. So what does that mean? Easy enough to say, but what does it mean? Well, it means simply this, is that we move through this life in this world trusting on the promises that Christ has made to us and the facts and the reality that back those promises up. To live by faith is to live knowing the outcome and the promise of eternal life for all of those who are in Christ. And that has been the reality, and that has been the fact since Jesus' own resurrection from the dead. It's the fact every one of us walks into when we are baptized. It's the facts for our children, for our grandchildren, and those not even yet born who will one day be in Christ. Why do we need a promise and a reality like this? And it's real simple. Life in this crumbling world is not easy. Paul speaks also to our crumbling bodies. Does anyone have a crumbling body out there? Put 20 bags of mulch down and get back to me. These present bodies that we inhabit right now are not built to last. As Pastor Bray said, Paul describes these bodies as tents, meaning they are temporary and affected by many elements. They prove their impermanence daily. In this life, we experience momentary afflictions, as Paul says in chapter 4 at the end of 2 Corinthians. In chapter 5 of our text today, Paul says, we see that in these bodies, there is much that leads us to groan. You know what it means to groan? I feel like I do it every time I sit down and every time I get up. There's a groan. There's a groan that comes from the physical things that we experience. There's a groan that comes from the emotional things, the mental things, and sometimes the groan that comes when all of those things hit us at once. But Paul explains this groan. He says, this groan in you and I in this life is a groan that is longing for a better day. And even better days beyond that better day. These are days that Christ Jesus Himself has not only secured but promised to us. Paul says we will have sighs which are filled with anxiety. There will be anxiety and uncertainty when you wait for the results of a biopsy. There will be a multitude of prayers before the CT scan. There will be tears after the CT scan when nothing is found and there's joy. There will be tears from the weight of a CT scan that brings bad news. There will be long roads of physical recovery from surgeries that were planned and some surgeries that are unplanned. There will be creaks and cracks in our bodies as we age. There will be moral wounds that we endure. There will be relational letdowns and many things that we will suffer at the hands of others, not by choice, but because of how rampant sin is in this world. And sometimes it's another sin against us. Sometimes it's our sin against someone else. Sometimes it's simply the effects of sin wrecking all creation down to the biology of nature itself. And it's in these moments, all of these different things that you and I walk through together, that St. Paul says that we ought to be of good courage because we walk by faith, not what? By sight. It's not ignoring that we see things or that we experience things and that we suffer in this life. It's not ignoring that for some pie in the sky. No, faith is this, is that we trust what Christ has given us and secured by His blood and the seal of the Holy Spirit for the outcome which will be yours and mine, and we know it without a doubt to be true. One day, we will leave the brokenness of this world and this body through death. Paul knows this for himself, and he wants us to know that our souls at that moment will be with Christ Jesus in heaven at our death. And Paul makes clear that day will be better than your best day in this life. But it doesn't even stop there. That's not it. The best day, which is better than that day, is when Christ Jesus returns in glory at the resurrection of the dead, and we receive our completely remade and reformed spiritual and physical bodies. Now, a lot of skeptics could say, well, how do you know that this is going to be true for you? How is it that you put so much faith and trust in that reality for you? And the answer is simple, because we've seen somebody and know of somebody who has done it before. There is our Lord Christ Jesus, the first one to ever be resurrected in this new condition, and it is He who promised that you and I will rise just as He did on that day. There were hundreds of witnesses to this. He could appear in a room without using the door. You got to admit, that's pretty cool. But if you thought that He somehow did away with this body of ours instead of remaking it, you also know that just after He appeared in that room, He also had a disciple touch His flesh and know that He was indeed real. That He was present before them, that this promise was also going to be theirs one day. If you read John's gospel near the end, you also know that He walked on the beach. He was able to gather firewood together, to start a fire, and to make breakfast for His friends, the disciples, and to invite them onto the beach with them and enjoy that breakfast meal in their presence. You see, all of this isn't based on some myth or hopeful thing, but it's based on the facts. What has already happened in the life of Jesus Christ. And even after His ascension, He appears to the apostle Paul. Paul saw Christ with his own eyes. Paul lives out the rest of his days as an apostle, believing and trusting in what he has seen and what he knows to be true from the mouth of Christ Himself, just as the other apostles and disciples did. This is the courage, what gives them the courage for the life they lead. You can look at Peter and see how different is Peter's life after the resurrection than it was on Good Friday. You can look at the Apostle Paul in all that he suffered, from being shipwrecked at sea, from receiving lashes on multiple occasions, from being stoned so badly that they thought he was dead and dragged him outside of the town and just left him there, assuming he was dead. The courage that he, Peter, the other disciples, and so many more would have at the moment of their martyrdom. Some too gruesome even to talk about. But even in these moments, think of Stephen and how his courage triumphed over fear in the midst of his being stoned to death. We trust in Christ's promise. Christ's promise is rooted on a fact and a reality of which his apostles give witness to you and I. And there is no reason we today can't live as courageously if only we walk by faith and not by sight. And so Paul says, knowing this, let us live out our days aiming to please God. Because soon we will trade the temporal for the eternal, the broken for the whole, the deteriorating for the indestructible. Heaven is a better thing which is ahead of us. But even the new heaven and new earth ushered in by Christ is better even than heaven. All of this is in front of us. All of this, because of Christ, we can live in the midst of with great courage. Make no mistake, what we see with our eyes in this world, it doesn't take long to be depressed over that. It doesn't take long to be discouraged if we look at the world only with our eyes. But if we walk trusting in what Christ has promised and proved, we have a new and different outlook than everyone else in the world, because we know what is coming. And what is coming is better, and when that comes, there's something even better than that. And that's the encouragement Paul wants to speak to us in a world that can quickly leave you discouraged. We who are in Christ do not live in a different world, but we live in this world differently. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your promises, promises that are not anchored in us, but are anchored in the complete and finished work of your Son, Jesus Christ, his death and his resurrection, his ascension and his coming again. And so, Lord, you have guaranteed that promise to us. You have sealed us with your Holy Spirit. You have given us the sign of your blood as a new and eternal covenant. Lord, in these dark days, may you fill us with the courage that only your promises and Spirit can give us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.